Morning. Today's daf in Darim is Lamed Hey. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lanzech Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We're on the very top. We're starting with the word Zeisve, but obviously we're starting with the word Zeisve. That means we're asking a question. And let's follow up from yesterday and let's see what the Gemara is probing into. The Gemara on Lamed Al Lamed Bey is after just giving us a couple of halachas regarding Me'ilah. Then goes back to a discussion, a question regarding a person making a neder. He says, Kikari Alecha. So he formulates a neder by saying that my loaf of bread is going to be usher to you. And so he's focusing on the ownership, meaning it's my loaf of bread. And so clearly the ownership seems to have something to do with the fact that the neder has been formulated. But then he says, Alecha upon you. So there's a little bit of a dichotomy over here in that language. Because by saying kikari, it sounds like that as long as the bread belongs to me, so that's it, it's us to do. On the other hand, by saying the word alecha, alecha means that it's us on you and it's always going to be us on you. And I don't care where I am, where the loaf of bread is, meaning it's always going to be us to you. So the question that was asked from Rava is, what would be the halacha if, after making such a neder, so he gave him the loaf of bread? As I mentioned yesterday, I quipped yesterday while discussing the question. The person has definitely an emotional roller coaster. He's making a neder against the person, then he's giving a gift to the person. So he's got the highs and lows of in this relationship. But anyway, so he made a neder and he says, "This loaf of bread is going to be asked to you. My loaf of bread is going to be asked to you." And then he gives it to him as a gift. So the question that was formulated to Rava was, "Do we say that the bread is going to be usher, or maybe it's only going to be usher while he's in ownership of the bread? But once he disavows ownership of that bread, so then the bread is no longer going to be usher." That is the question. So that Rava responds to the question. If you want to take a look on the back of Lamed Dalam and Beis, last three and a half lines, Amar Lei. So just reading the answer of Rava, Pshita Dafagav Diyavi Lei B'Matana Aser. So he says, I think it's obvious that even if he gives it to him as a gift, it's going to be Aser, because that doesn't change the nature of the neder. Ela kikari alecha lafuke mai, lav lafuke digan v'minei mignav. And then he asks an extraordinarily rhetorical question. Now, he says the words kikari alecha. What do you think? What do you think he came to exclude? You think he claimed to exclude, you know, this bread is going to be Aser to you until you steal it from me? Meaning, sarcastically, he's saying, obviously, that's not what he meant. Meaning, he meant that the loaf of bread is going to be usher even after I transfer it over to you. Meaning, the key word over here is alecha. So, amalei lo lafuki di'i azmanei alecha. So, the Gemara says, well, maybe this is what he meant. He meant kikari alecha, meaning that my loaf of bread is going to be usher to you. What was he coming to exclude? So, the Gemara suggests, as a way to counter Rava's assertion, maybe it's coming to suggest that it's going to be usher as long as you're my guest. We learned the Ran yesterday. The Ran had a very interesting opinion that when you invite somebody over to your house and he eats at your table and he eats your food, it is going to be your food. Meaning, even as you put the food in front of him, even as you serve him the food, it's still going to be your food. So maybe what the Gemara is suggesting is, kikari alecha means that the only thing excluded is going to be a scenario in which he says, this is your kikari alecha, this is going to be usher to you as you sit and eat at my table and eating my food. But maybe in a chinami, if he gave him the food, so then it would be mutter. That was the counter argument to Rava, but Rava obviously disagrees. Rava says that no, that even after it's given over as a gift, Rava says it's still going to be usher. That is the opinion of Rava. And with that, we continue. On Lamed Hamad Aleph Esve, the Gemara is now going to challenge based on a Braisa. The Braisa says, Armali Hashileni Parasecha. Okay, a conversation that takes place between a man and a friend. And he said, the conversation starts off, I'd like you, can you lend me your cow? Armalo Konim Parasha Nikanu Alach Nichsei Alecha. So, and so the response is, not just no, and you can't borrow my cow, but rather the no was reinforced with an eder. Konim parashani kanu lach. So my cow is going to be konim to you, meaning I'm prohibiting my cow to you. It's no plus Really, no. Meaning, I'm going to make a neder to the effect that you cannot borrow my cow. And nichse alecha, or let's say the response was, not only is my cow asked to you, but all my possessions are asked to you. So essentially, it's a very strong no. Im yesh li para elazu, and im yesh li para elazu is just an expression. It means this is the only cow I have. Meaning, I'm not really in a position where I'm going to be able to lend you the cow. Hashaleni kar dumech, or the Braisa continues with another example. The person asks him the question, can I borrow your hammer? So amar lo konim kardum sheishli shani kanui nirse alai im yeshli kardum elazeh. So once again the answer is no, but not just a no, but my hammer is going to be offered to you through a konam, through a neder. So v'nimsa sheishlo, and it turns out that this is not the only cow that he had, this is not the only hammer that he had others as well. So b'chayav aser, the Braisa says, as long as this person's alive, so the neder is enforced, it's going to be prohibited. Fine. Mace oshenasna lo b'matana, but then the Braisa says, but if he dies, or he gives him the item as a gift. So in other words, what the Braisa seems to say is that if he no longer is the owner of the item, now either he dies, which means that obviously he's no longer the owner, he's no longer alive, but even if he gives it to him as a gift, so then he's no longer bound by the neder, because the neder is only while he owns the item. Once he disavows ownership of it, even by disavowing, meaning giving it to the other person, the neder is no longer in force. This is obviously serves as a question on Rava. Rava concluded on the previous Amud that in a scenario where he said, Kikari Alecha, so as long as he owns the bread, it's going to be Aser. What if he transferred it over as a gift? Rava says it's still going to be Aser, because again, the focus was Kikari Alecha. It's going to be Aser to you, even though he said the word Kikari. Kikari Alecha, it's still going to be Aser to you. So over here, the Braisa says, once he transfers over as a gift, it's no longer going to be Aser. So this Braisa seems to argue with Rava's conclusion. Rava can't argue with the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi. Sorry, I skipped an important line. So the Gemara suggests that maybe what the Braisa is talking about is it wasn't a direct transfer from the one who made the neder against the one who the neder was made against, but rather middleman, it was given al yedei acher. So in other words, the cow was given to a third party. Third party gave it now to the one who the neder was made against. Or same thing with the hammer. Under those circumstances, neder no longer is in force. If I give it directly from me to you, the neder is still in force. But once it goes to a third party, so the neder has been removed. I'm Rav Ashi Deganami Diktani. Rav Ashi says, look, you look carefully at the braisa, you read the braisa carefully, that's correct. Meaning it wasn't a direct giving of the cow or hammer. Why shenitna lo velo ketani shenatna lo? Because when you read the brisa reads nitna lo. Now the Ran does admit over here that even if you read the brisa carefully, you're not really going to get it out of this brisa. The Ran writes klomer. The Ran's right alongside where we are in the Gemara on the outside of the Amud. Klomer shekachai sa kabbal biadam lekros nitno bechirik. Now it's not for the way it was written, because the way it was written, you could read nasnu, you could read nitnu. Okay, again, the little grammar that I know, nasno is just a simple verb. Nitno is a passive verb. It's not a lashon nifal. So if it was written with a chirik, it was not that he gave it actively, but nitno, it was given to him. Meaning he gave it to somebody else, a third party, and then it was given to him. So the Ran says, klamer shekach ha'isar kabab liyadam lekros nitno bechirik, afa pi she'in b'ksiva shum hefresh. There's no difference in how it's written. In modern Hebrew, the nifal would be written with a yud, but in the time Bizman HaGemara, whether it was written with nasno or nitno, well, they didn't write with the kudos, that we all know, but even with nifal, they didn't add the yud as well. So there really is no difference in terms of how you read it, how it's written, but there is in terms of a mesora, we had a tradition that the way to pronounce the braisa is nisno. Okay. Period. Adkan. All right, so the Gemara still defends Rava's position. Rava's position is that if I make a neder, kikari alecha, that my loaf of bread is also to you, so even after I transfer the loaf of bread to you, so it's still going to be also because the key over here is alecha. That's what I'm coming to add with the word alecha. The Ran concludes that the Ran concludes that this is in fact the halacha. The halacha is that if you make such a nedun, you give it to the other person, so it's going to be asvi. Quotes the Rashba. The Rashba says, doesn't matter if he gives it to him as a gift, doesn't matter if he sells it to him. It all follows that the neder was, I don't want you to have benefit from this loaf of bread, and so if he gives it to him or sells it to him, it's still going to be asvi. Okay. We're up to the middle of the Amud by Minei Rav Amir Rav Nachman Yesh Me'ila B'Kohanamos Olo. Gemara over here asks a very fundamental question. One the Gemara could have asked really day one in the Masechta, but the Gemara asks it now over here. Okay, in order to understand this question, let's go back to the Ran on day one of the Masechta. Okay, we're on the 35th daf of Nedarim, so that means that five short weeks ago. Wow. Only five short weeks ago, we started the Masechta, and what did we discuss on day one? That in the world of a neder, so really there are two categories of nedarim, meaning in terms of the larger picture, there really are nedarim personal and nedarim objective. In other words, you have nedarim in the world of karbanos, and then you have nedarim in terms of how a person can make a personal iser. when we're talking about the objective karban, so that's Nidre Hekdesh. So the Ran points out, that's not what we're discussing in our Masechta. When it comes to Nidre Hekdesh, so that is, that belongs in Masechta Kachim. In other words, that's the world of karbanos. Okay. What we discussed in our Masechta for the last 5 weeks has been Nidre Isser. When a person makes a personal neder, meaning that this item is going to be usher to me. Okay, it's asr, it's a prohibition, but it's not objectively hektesh. Now, when something is objectively hektesh, so we know the following, that once it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, so then I'm not allowed to get benefit from it. And if I go ahead and get benefit from it, so I am what in English we would call misappropriating. That's a nice way to say steal. And in the Torah defines that as me'ila. The isser of me'ila is that any time I take an item and benefit from it, an item that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, so I was mo'el behektesh. I violated the isser of me'ila. And that violation of the isser of me'ila will result in A, I have to make full restitution on that which I took. B, I have to add 25% on top of that. Torah says Chomesh. Torah says 20%, but 20 turns into 25%. And then, for math, that I'll explain on another occasion. And then three is that you have to bring a karban me'ila for misappropriating from the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Those are the ramifications of me'ila, as if I take anything that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash and make my own personal usage out of it, so then I'm all behektesh. Also, I'll just drop this information right now. Later, we're going to go and retrieve this information. On top of that, anytime I was mol behektesh, I removed the item from the Beis HaMikdash's domain. I brought him to my domain. In other words, by being mol, you're also removing the kedusha from that item. Okay, the Gemara's question over here now is a very basic question. We know that there's me'ila when it comes to isurei hektesh, nidre hektesh. Is there also going to be me'ila by a konam? Meaning when a person makes a personal neder, is there going to be me'ila as well? Now, that's the way the Gemara formulates the question. Take a look at the Ran. So the Ran goes on to discuss. Tipul Hana, sorry, Yesh Me'ila B'Konamos. The Ran writes, Ha'oso Dav Allah B'Konam B'Nena Mimenu Mim Chayiv Me'ila Olo. Mi Amrinan Da Asu K'Karban V'Chayiv Allah V'Asham Me'ila K'Nena Min HaKashim. Look, every time that a person makes a neder, so basically what he's doing is that he's saying that to me, this item is like a karban. Now, obviously, the item in question is not a karban, meaning whatever item he decides to forbid for himself. But what he's doing is he's making it like a karban. In fact, like we learned since day one, since the Masechta, a valid way to make an eder is what's called hatfasa. It's saying that this item is like a karban. This is what's called a hatfasa. So when I'm making this item to be like a carbon, so the question that now we're dealing with is there going to be a carbon all the way to the extent in which, just like a carbon, there's an issur me'ilah, so too over here, in this personal issur that I've made, there's also going to be an issur me'ilah. This is the Gemara's question. Why the Gemara is asking this question now, meaning as opposed to, could have asked day one, it could have asked any point in time. So part of the answer to that is that, based on our discussion that we're having right now, we're gonna try to address this question. Okay, so this is a very basic question that Gemara is asking. So, by mine Rava Mirav Nachman, yesh me'ila bekonamas olam. Is there a me'ila prohibition as it relates to nedarim? Again, personal nidre yisr, just like there is an yisr me'ila when it comes to nidre hekdash. Amalei tenisua. So he says, I can bring a proof. I think I have a proof, and that is our Mishnah. Once again, yesterday we spent a lot of time learning focusing on our Mishnah, and now we get to do it once again. Remember, what did the Mishnah teach us? That if, let's say, I make a neder, or you make a neder, and saying that I cannot get benefit from you, and then you lost an item, and I find the item, so am I allowed to retrieve the item and bring it back to you? So the Mishnah says yes. Okay, and yesterday we spent a lot of time discussing, under which circumstances is that a yes? Is it when I'm forbidden to get benefit from you, when you're forbidden to get benefit from me? So yesterday we spent a lot of time going over that. That was yesterday's daf. In the meantime, however, what did the Mishnah also teach us? The Mishnah says that, look, there used to be communities where the minhag was, is that once the item was returned to its rightful owner, the owner gave a gratuity to the finder and said to the finder not only thank you, but said thank you in terms of money as well. So the Mishnah taught us that if there was a neder that existed between the finder and the owner, so then what happens with that money? The money can't be given over, but rather what happens with that money is given over to Hekdesh. Okay? That's what we learned in the Mishnah. If the money was given over, or if the money was not given over, but it was rather held, someone's going to benefit. So that there can't be any either transfer of money or retention of money. So therefore, the money has to be given over to Hekdesh. Okay? And I'm simplifying yesterday, as we pointed out. Both points may not be true, but okay. For our purposes right now, that's good. Meaning, that was the basic point of the Mishnah. Now, you'll notice the Mishnah says, what do you do with this money that can't be given over to the finder and can't be held by the owner? You give it to the Hekdesh. Now, the Ran points out, generally speaking in the Gemara, when there is money in question and we don't know what to do with that money, what in general does the Gemara say to do with that money? So generally speaking, the Gemara says, throw it to Yam HaMelech, meaning destroy the money. But if you notice over here, the Mishnah doesn't say throw it to the Dead Sea. The Mishnah says give it to Hekdesh. Why does our Mishnah tell us that this money that we can't give and can't retain, you have to give it to Hekdesh? That's what the Gemara is dealing with. Makom Shano Lemalaschar Tipol Anal Hekdesh Lememra Ki Hekdesh. The Mishnah is teaching us an ancillary point, and by the way, it's an ancillary point. It's a fundamental point, meaning this money that can't be given and can't be retained and has to be quote unquote disposed of. What does the Mishnah tell us to do with that money? So the Mishnah says, give it to Hekdesh. What the Mishnah is also teaching us is, it's ki'ilu, it's Hekdesh. Ma Hekdesh yesh ba me'ilah, afkaramas yesh ba me'ilah. So just like Hekdesh has the din of me'ilah, meaning objective Hekdesh, so too this also is going to have the status of Hekdesh as well, meaning it's subject to the isser of me'ilah. Good. So that is a Mishnah tipping its cap to the position that the when a person makes a personal and neder, it's gonna have with it the isser of me'ila. Gemara says Ketanai. The Gemara says really this is subject to a machlokus amongst the Tanayim. Konen kikar zeh hekdesh. So let's say a person makes a neder regarding a loaf of bread, the achla, and he eats the loaf of bread. Ben hu ben chavero ma'al. So whether he eats it, whether somebody else eats it, they're subject to me'ila. Lefichech yesh la pigeon. And because the bread now belongs to Hekdesh, and because if he eats it, he's subject to Me'ilah, also there's pigeon, there's also could be redemption. Meaning, when something is objectively Hekdesh, the following happens. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash now. Nobody can eat it. And furthermore, it's redeemable, like anything that belongs to Hekdesh. Kikar zu alai. Now, in our Gemara, we have the words lehekdesh. The Bach takes out the lamin, just leaves it as hekdesh. But let's say, instead of making it objectively belonging to the Beis HaMikdash, let's say he says, kikar zu alai hekdesh. He makes a personalized isser that this loaf is going to be asur to me. Otherwise, what we would call, since the beginning of the Masechta, a neder. V'achla, and then he eats a loaf of bread. Hu ma'al, chaver lo ma'al. Fascinating. The Braisa says that he violates the Isser of Me'ilah. Now his friend, if he eats it, the friend doesn't violate Me'ilah, because again, he's not turning this into objective Hekdesh. This is not Nidre Hekdesh, this is Nidare Isser. Meaning it's a personalized Neder. And so therefore the loaf of bread to him is going to be Isser. But the Braisa says, if he eats it, he's subject to Me'ilah. Somebody else eats it, he's not subject to Me'ilah. Lefichach in la pigeon, Divrei Rabbi Meir. And because it's a personalized Isser, there's no redemption. Meaning, by Hekdesh, something which is objectively belong to the Beis HaMikdash, so it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, therefore it's subject to redemption. A personal Isser is not subject to redemption. So, that is the opinion of Meir. The Chachamim Romim, Ben Kach, Lama'al, and the Chachamim say no. There's no violation of Me'ilah when it comes to a personal Neder. Lefishay Me'ilah, because there's no Me'ilah as it relates to a personal Isser. Good. What do you find in this Braisa? Exactly what the Gemara promoted. It's a Machlokas Tanayim, whether or not there is an Isser Me'ilah on a personal neder. On something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, there is an Isser Me'ilah in the Torah. On a personalized neder, a personal Isser, so the Tanaim debate this very issue. Rav Meir says that there's an Isser Me'ilah. The Chachamim say that there is no Isser of Me'ilah. The Ran concludes, once again, in terms of the halacha, four lines after the lines get wide in the Ran. So the Ran says that where the halacha is that there is an Isser of Me'ilah as it relates to a personalized neder. Very interesting. Machlok is between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Normally you would side with the Chachamim over Rav Meir, but the Ran says over here we're going to side like Rav Meir. What leads the Ran to this conclusion? So he goes on to defend. Because remember, we just cited our Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah of the finder returning the lost item to the owner. And the Mishnah says, don't pay him, but rather give the money to Hekdesh. So that was a tip of the cap in the Mishnah that even though it's a personalized Isser, nevertheless it's like Hekdesh. And then he goes on and gives other proofs as well that the halacha falls like Rabbi Meir. Uberg Shvur Stein Basra, Anami Mafchina de Rab Meir Le Rabbanan Hilcha Kaimelan Diyesh Me'ilah. Right, when we get to the Gemara Shavuos, we'll see this inside. I mean, when we get there, God willing, you know, a couple of years from now. But the Rav Meir and the Chachamim are flipped. So either way, the conclusion is of the Ran is that there is an Isser Me'ilah when it comes to a personal neder. The Kaimelan Nami Dekonam Klali Yesh Lapijon Umistap Kali Man Dema'a Bekonamos. And then the Ran ends off this discussion with one very simple question. Okay, so now my conclusion, says the Ran, is that there's an Isser Me'ilah when even by a personalized neder. So this loaf of bread that's in front of me, if I declare it to me to be Asr through a neder, right, through a konam, so it's subject to Me'ilah. So the Ran says, I'm just going to leave off one question, I don't know. And now that I violated the Isser of Me'ilah, we know that in the general rules and the halachas of Me'ilah, once a person is mal behekdesh, it leaves the world of the Beis HaMikdash and now it becomes chulin. Is the same thing going to be true by a personal neder? If I make a neder against a loaf of bread, and as the Gemara just concluded, at least the Ran just concluded, that there is an Isser of Me'ilah, does that also mean that the bread is going to be Yotze L'chulin? It's going to become now mundane and no longer subject to the neder? So the Ran says, that part I don't know. That's the one question left unanswered by the Ran. Okay. Yeah.
Right, I didn't know how Rabbi Meir would hold if a third party absolves him of his neder. So does that now, I guess it's similar to what we just said. Is that still hekdesh or not hekdesh?
Right, the
in other words, your neder Right. He finds a petach, no neder. So what happens now?
If the neder is absolved, so then that's it. So then the item loses its status altogether, just because with an opening from a neder, with a petach made to a neder, so then the neder from the very point of origination has been totally it's been totally expunged. In a scenario where, like we just described, where he gave it to another person, so that also that terminates the neder, meaning the neder then, once he gives it to somebody else, so then the clause of the neder was kikari alecha, my loaf of bread is going to be asked to you. So once giving it to a third party, so that terminates the neder. But as long as the neder is enforced, so then subject to the isser of me'ilah. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Okay, Amalei Rav Acha, Amalei Rav Acha, Rav Avila, Rav Ashi, Kikari Alecha V'Naslam B'Matanami Ma'al. Okay, so now that we're here, just one more point to finish up this discussion. Let's say Kikari Alecha, my loaf of bread is also to you. All right, it's what we discussed in the beginning of today's shiur, what we discussed at the end of yesterday's shiur, and V'Naslam B'Matanami given to him as a gift. Now, as we already pointed out, the giving of this loaf of bread as a gift is not going to remove the neder from the loaf of bread, because again the clause that was used was kikari alecha, my loaf of bread is going to be offered to you. That was Rava's conclusion. Now, question on the table is as follows: as we just concluded in the Gemara, there is an iser of meila on this loaf of bread. Mi ma'al. The Gemara asks a very simple question. Now that there was a transfer of this loaf of bread, who's subject to the Isra of Me'ilah? Lima'ol, no sein, halo asir alaha. So the Gemara says, are we going to give it, are we going to assign the Isra of Me'ilah to the giver? So the Gemara says, halo asir alaha. It's not usher to him. Meaning, even though he may have, not may, even though he made the neder, there was he was the one who declared the neder, but the neder was not for him, the neder was for somebody else. And again, like we've said, you can do that with a neder. You can make an item that you own prohibited to somebody else. So even though he made the neder, he's not subject, he's not bound to the prohibition of the neder. So halo asira laha limol makabel. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's our only other option? The one who received the loaf of bread, yachol damer et terabisi sur la baisi. Yeah, but can't he make the argument, look, I know you gifted me a loaf of bread, but you know, I didn't want a gift of something which was usher. I wanted a gift of something which was mutter. So can't he make that argument? And wouldn't that argument be so strong that it would lead us to the conclusion that he's not in violation of the Isra Me'ilah? So Amar Leh, so the Gemara's answer is Mekaba Ma'al L'Chashiyotzi. So the Gemara says, look, at the point of transfer, you're absolutely right. Meaning again, this loaf of bread is prohibited. And the reason why is because it was a neder was made. That this loaf of bread is going to be usher to you. And as we concluded, Kikari Alecha, once he gives it over to the other person, it's still going to be prohibited. In terms of the Isra of Me'ilah, the Isra of Me'ilah still there, but not yet materialized. When does the Isra of Me'ilah become... when does it materialize? L'cheshiyotzi. When the receiver uses it, eats it, makes any type of usage out of it. Shekolamotzi ma'os hektish techulin, kasav shechulin hu, mo'al avzemol. Because that's the rules of Me'ilah. The rules of Me'ilah is anytime you make usage out of it, even though that wasn't your intent, but nevertheless, you're subject to the Isra of Me'ilah. So to the Mekabo, the one who receives it is subject to the Isra of Me'ilah. Just again, Hedy, we spoke about this earlier as well. When I make an neder prohibiting you from something that I own, and you eat that item, so who violated the neder? The person who ate it or the person who made the neder? So the Rambam says the person who made the neder. So the Ran over here says, it's so hard to understand the Rambam's viewpoint on this particular issue. Meaning the one who made the neder so good, he created the Isser. But he wasn't the one who violated the neder. The one who violated the neder was the other party. Right? The one who the neder was made against. So how can one person be violating the neder and the other person be subject to the malchus, to the lashes of Nedarim? So the Ron says it's very hard to understand the Rambam, especially in light of our Gemara that we just learned. Our Gemara was grappling with the issue of who's subject to the Yisra of Me'ila, and the Gemara says, like, it's a Dover Pashut, it's obvious that the one who makes a neder, he for sure is not usher in the Yisra of Me'ila, because he's not the one who... He's not one. He created the neder, but he's not the one who's subject to the neder. The one who's subject to the neder, if anybody, is going to be subject to the Yisra of Me'ila. So again, it's the Ron points out, he did this earlier in the Masechet as well, but he has a very hard time understanding the Rambam's viewpoint on this particular issue.
Maybe the second party doesn't know. The second party is not aware.
If that's true, I mean, when awareness happens, so then. You're right. As long as he doesn't know, so then there's nothing to talk about.
If person A says that person B should not be benefiting from person A,
right?
And then person B finds something that grants person A, can he still get the reward or not if he gives him back? Because the reward is right, the right of the B. Well, how could A prevents the right of B?
Well, again, because what A can do is A can say that my property is usher to him. In other words, he can't make anybody else's property usher to him, but he can make his property, A can make his property usher to B. That you could do in the world in a darim.
What about the right of the compensation?
Oh, you mean in terms of the return of the lost item?
Yeah.
So that's what we said, that you can't, that you can't do. But
B has to get the money.
Right. Right. Okay. We're in the Mishnah Lamed Hey Amud Beis Atarim Es Trumaso Masro Sav Ledato. I'm sorry. Vit Tarim Es Trumaso Masro Sav Ledato. This is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. Remember, we have two people involved. One person makes a neder against another person. I'm not going to get any benefit from you. So now, let's have Reuven and Shimon. Okay, I want to use two people over here. No one's going to have this kind of acrimony to one another, God willing, hopefully. But let's say Reuven says to Shimon, I'm not getting any benefit from you. So, so we already learned in the previous Mishnah that Shimon could do a number of things. Shimon could pay the shekel. Shimon could pay off his loans. Shimon could do a lot of things for Reuven and not be in violation of the neder. So in terms of paying off the shekel and paying off the loans, as we pointed out in a couple of days ago, that's just chasing away the lion. That's not a direct benefit. We also said he could return a lost item. Good. That's also not a, that's not a direct benefit. Although again, yesterday's daf we argued that point, but that's also not a direct benefit. He's just doing a mitzvah. Shimon's just doing a mitzvah. And then in our Mishnah, we're continuing. Other things that Shimon could do for Reuven, even though Reuven's not allowed to get benefit from Shimon. Termis Chumas of Masros of Ledato. He can take off Chumas of Masros Ledato. Later, not today, tomorrow, we're going to discuss what exactly is meant with the words Ledato. Umakr Valav Kinezav and Kinezav is Kineyoladis Chatos Veshamos. And let's say that Shimon's a Kohen. And Reuven's coming now to the base of Mikdash, and Reuven's got these karbonos that he needs to bring. Reuven can't offer the karbonos because Reuven's not a Kohen, so he gives it to Shimon. Now, Reuven's had it with Shimon, and Reuven made a neder that he's not going to get benefit from Shimon, and that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. The point of the Mishnah is, despite the fact that there's a neder, still Shimon can offer the karbonos for reasons we're going to be discussing in the Gemara. Umakri v'alav kinei zavim kinei zavos kinei yoldos chatos v'shamos. Now, I say karbonos, but if you read the Mishnah carefully, you'll notice the Mishnah doesn't say all karbanos. The Mishnah actually is very specific about which karbanos they are. What examples does the Mishnah give? Mechusrei kapara. Not just any karban, but karban that is withholding kapara. Right? You've been in the daf long enough, you'll know, you'll remember, that there are a series of four different types of karbanos that a person has to bring in order to allow him entrance into the Beis HaMikdash, and the ability to eat karban. And they are the ones described right here. A yoledis. there's also a mitzvah, which the Mishnah here doesn't mention, but zavan and yolados. So they, a woman gives birth, a man or a woman experiences a zava discharge, so they can't, that has to be major, they can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, they can't eat karban until they bring their kabbanis at the conclusion of their tahara. So those are the examples that the Mishnah gives. Is the Mishnah being very specific in the examples that it gives? Stay tuned, because we're going to discuss that in the Gemara. So was zava zavas kina yolados chatos ve'ashamos, also chatos and asham umelamdo medrash halachos ve'agados, and also shema kitish mi Torah. Even though I'm not allowed to get benefit from Shimon, but he can teach me Torah. But specifically, Medrash Halachos VeAgados, what we would call Torah Shebaal Peh, Avalo Yilamdeno Mikra, but he can't teach me Chumash. That's interesting. That deserves a lot of attention. Tomorrow we're going to discuss why it is. I can learn Torah from him, but he can't teach me Chumash. Meaning Torah Shebaal Peh. Right, he can give the daf yomi, but he can't teach me chumash. Tomorrow we'll discuss that. Avalamid who is banav is benosav mikra. He can teach my kids chumash, even though I can't get benefit from him. But he can go ahead and he can teach my kids chumash. Much to discuss over here in this Mishnah. Yibayluhu hani kohani shluchi didan havu shluchi d'shmaya. Another question. Two really very basic questions Gemara asked today. Question number one on the Amud Aleph was: is there an idea of me'ila as it applies to personal nedarim? Very basic fundamental question. And another very basic fundamental question the Gemara asks today on the Amud Beis: when the Kohanim do the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, they are messengers of whom? Your two options are: they're messengers of God, or they're our messengers. Now, if this question sounds familiar, it should, because this is not the first time the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara asks this question a couple of times. You'll see on the side the Gemara in Yuma, the Gemara in Kedushin. You'll take a look at the Ran. The Ran points out, we know the answer to this question. It's the answer to the question is obvious. The Gemara in Kedushin. The Ran quotes the Gemara in Kedushin. Asik Rav Huna, I'm reading from the Ran, the third line down in the Gemara of the Ran. They are emissaries of God. They are not our emissaries. The Gemara in Kedushin says, Isa gadach shluchi didanenu mi'ika mida da'anen lo matzin lama'abed ve'inu avdei. Look, there's one compelling argument that you can make, that the Gemara in Kedushin does make, that says that they are shluchei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're not our shliach. Because what is the general rule regarding shliach? Regarding shliach, a shliach can be no greater than me. In other words, he cannot exceed my power and my ability. So, if I could do something, I can appoint somebody else to do it. But there's no way I can appoint somebody to do something where he can do something that I myself cannot do. His power, when I give somebody power of attorney, his power cannot exceed my power. So now, can I go into the Beis HaMikdash, meaning me, right? The Magichir right now of this daf. Can I go into the Beis HaMikdash, can I do the Avodah? The answer is no. I'm Yisrael. I have no right to do that. In fact, let's go one step further. I go in the Beis HaMikdash and I do the Avodah, I'm Chayv Misa. Okay, so I can't do the Avodah. And meanwhile, I'm going to hand my carbon over to a Kohen, and he's going to do it for me. Is he my Shliach? Can't possibly be. I can't go into the Beis HaMikdash and do the Avodah, so there's no way I can appoint somebody as my agent to do that. Doesn't work. So, the Gemara in Kedushin says, ergo, the only way to view the Kohen is, he's a Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not my Shliach. That's the Gemara in Kedushin. The Ran says, we know the answer to the question. So if we know the answer to the question, so why is Gemara here asking it? What are we doing right now? So the Ran says, actually you can read it inside, it's very short. So he says, sorry, lost my spot. Back in the Ran. So but the Ran says over here, look, we're going to learn Mishnayos together and Braisos together, and more proof can be given from the Mishnayos than from the Braisos. Meaning, in the yeshivas, what they used to do is ask a question and marshal a Mishnah or a Braisa to bring a proof towards that question. So that's what we're doing right now. Even though we know the Gemara in Kedushin, we just reminded ourselves the Gemara in Kedushin, but we want to try to extract the answer from a Mishnah or from a Braisa. That's part of the Limud HaTorah that they would do in the Beis Medrash. So Ibailu, Anikon Shikhudidan Havo Shokhidishmay Lamay Nafkamina. Back to the Gemara wants to know, practically speaking, what difference would it make? Lemuda Hana, the Gemara says, I'll tell you what difference would it make. So let's go back to our Reuven and Shimon. Shimon is our resident Kohen. And now Shimon is not allowed to provide benefit to Reuven. Reuven made a neder. I've had it with Shimon. I'm not getting any benefit from him. So now Reuven goes to the base of Mikdash, and there's Shimon, the Kohen. And Shimon cannot provide benefit for Reuven based on a neder that was made. So now, sheepishly, I guess I say that pun intended, right? Yeah, no, pun intended. So sheepishly now he hands over the animal to Shimon and he says, I love it. It's such an awkward conversation. Can you bring this to me? Bring this as a carbon for me. So again, if Shimon's serving as the shliach of Reuven, we have a very big problem, because Shimon cannot provide benefit to Reuven. If, however, Shimon was a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then there's no direct relationship between Shimon and Reuven. Shimon is just, I'm using the term loosely, doing his job, and he's not acting as an agent of Reuven. So Iyamar, and the Gemara basically makes this point. Iyamar deshluchi didan havo hava mahanilei. So if Shimon is a shliach of Reuven, so that means that he's actually doing a favor for Reuven, which he's not allowed to do because there was a neder that was made. V'aser v'iyamar shluchi d'shmaya sharei mai. So the Gemara says, or do we say that he's an agent of Hashem? If he's an agent of Hashem, so then there wouldn't be a problem. Shimon is just doing his job. The Gemara's response, Tashma, the Gemara says, let's see, did not makriv alav, kine zavim. Look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when a neder was made and the Kohen is not allowed to confer benefit onto this person, this Kohen in question can still offer his karbanos. That's what our Mishnah says. So from our Mishnah, it seems pretty clear that the Kohen in question is a shliach of Hashem, not a shliach of the person who sent him. That's exactly what bothers the Gemara. If he is the shliach of the person who's offering the karban, then he can't offer the karban, because then he's providing benefit. The Gemara says, yeah, you know what? That is a good proof. But let me ask you a simple question. We made this point already in the Mishnah. Why doesn't the Mishnah make the larger point? Why doesn't the Mishnah say that this Kohen can offer karbanos? Period. Why does the Mishnah have to be so specific? Kinei zavin, kinei zavos, yolados. Why is the Mishnah turning to these particular karbanos? Ela mechusrei kapara shani. So the Gemara now is going to make an argument. Mechusrei kapara. Our Mishnah is very specific in the types of karbanos that it's talking about. The Amar of Yochanan, Hakol Tzrichim Da'as Chutz Mechusrei Kapara Sharei Adam Evi Karban Abanav Abanosav Haketanim. So he says, look, in general, when it comes to a karban, you need something. It's very important. It's called intent. You need Das. In other words, I'm bringing a karban. One of the most basic components of a karban is the intent of, this is me, this is my karban, I'm bringing it, this is why I'm bringing it. Generally speaking, that is that's the hallmark of a karban. You need intent. Exception, like every rule, is mechusrei kapara. If someone needs to bring a karban for no other reason other than they need entrance into the Beis HaMikdash and the ability to, in the future, to eat karbanos, what we call the karbanos of mechusrei kapara, that is the exception to the rule. There is no need for intent. Shenemar, and how do we know that? Because the Torah says, Zos Torah Sazav, Ben Gadol Ben Katan. So the Zos Taras is an inclusion. It means that this karban can be provided both for an adult and for a minor as well. You don't need das when you offer such a karban. Maybe this is what the Gemara's counter argument. Maybe our Mishnah is not a proof that they're serving as an agent of Hashem. And maybe, in fact, in general, the Kohen, if he was bound by a neder that he cannot confer benefit onto a person, maybe in general the halacha is he can't bring karbanos. And maybe our Mishnah is speaking not to the rule, but rather to the exception. The exception is these particular karbanos, mechusrei kapara. And why are these exceptions? Because you don't even need das. I don't even need your mindset. I don't need your intent. We could do this robotically. Maybe the Mishnah is only speaking about these types of karbanos. Let us see, the Gemara says, okay, but let me ask just a simple question. You have the word Zos Taras, and you're telling me that's a ribui, that's an inclusion, and it's coming to include a minor as well. Now, again, the Mechusrei Kapara is Zava or Zava, which could happen by minors. That's unusual, but it could happen by minors. What about giving birth? Didn't we say time and again throughout Shas, a minor cannot have a child? Meaning physically, biologically, a minor cannot have a child. So, ben ketana ben gedola, ketana bas leidahi, and that's exactly what bothers the Gemara. How can the minor be offering a karban yoledes? She's not having a baby. Three different women that when they're married are going to use some sort of birth control. A minor, a woman who's pregnant, a woman who's nursing. And the reason why is because if a minor were to become impregnated, so then she's not physiologically prepared to have this baby. And then if she does, in fact, conceive, then she's going to die. So in order to prevent death, she'll use contraception. Okay, and there's a much larger discussion, which we're going to not entertain right now, whether the Gemara is recommending, ordering us in these cases for contraception. There's another debate amongst the Rishonim. This contraception is before, the contraception is after. Okay. Right now, all important discussions, but just to stay focused on the one point that Gemara is trying to make, how can you tell me that the word Toras, Zos Toras, is an inclusion that's coming to include minors? A minor is not having a baby, so the Gemara says, Ahi Zos Toras, Eulaz, Ben Pikachas, Ben Shota. So the Gemara says, no, when it says Zos Toras as it relates to a woman giving birth, it's not coming to include a minor because a minor is not going to have a baby. What's coming to include is a woman who does not have das, meaning let's say she's a shota, okay, and some man was kind enough, nice enough to marry her, and now she has a baby, she's an adult, she has a baby, she doesn't have das. So the Gemara says that's exactly what the Torah is coming to teach us. That the husband can provide a carbon on her behalf. Shekein adam evi carbon al ishto shota kedivrei Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara, and we're going to see this tomorrow, the Gemara introduces us to this idea that a husband provides a carbon on behalf of his wife, even though his wife does not have das, even though she does not have intent. Okay, let's just quickly recap for today. Let's summarize, and we'll continue tomorrow. We ended the discussion of Kikari Alecha. When a person says Kikari Alecha, Rava says that even when he transfers the loaf to somebody else, the loaf of bread is still going to be aser. The Gemara on the Amud Aleph, Lamed Hamud Aleph, addressed a very fundamental question, and that is when a person makes a personal neder and prohibits an item just to himself, if he were to benefit from the item, is he in violation of Me'ilah? Just like there's an Isra Me'ilah by Karbanos in general and by anything belonging to Hekdesh, is there going to be an Isra Me'ilah by a personal neder? The Gemara asks that question. The Gemara leaves it as a machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and the Ram says that the halacha falls like Rav Meir. There is an iser of meila as it relates to a personal neder. On the Amud Beis, we talked about other things that a person can do, even though he is bound by a neder not to confer hana to somebody else. So he can take off Trumas and Maisels, which we haven't discussed yet. We're going to be discussing that tomorrow. And he can offer karbanos on behalf of somebody else, even though he's not allowed to benefit that other person. It seems from our Mishnah that it addresses another fundamental question for today, and that is when the Kohen serves as a Kohen and does the Avoda, he's acting as the shliach of the owner of the karban, or is he acting as a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Gemara in Kiddushin says, we know the answer. He's a shliach of Hashem. But can we address this question based on our Mishnah? The Gemara's first reaction is yes, sounds that way, because if he's a shliach of the person who sent him, so then he's giving him benefit. To which the Gemara's response is, our Mishnah is not definitive proof, because maybe our Mishnah is only talking about Mechusrei Kapara, and what's unique about Mechusrei Kapara is that you don't need Das. And because you don't need Das, maybe our Mishnah is not speaking to the rule, but rather to the exception. This is where we ended off today. Tomorrow we pick it up.